You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is episode 6. Well, hey guys, and welcome to Feathers. I'm so glad you're here this week. First thing out of the gate, I just have to apologize a little bit. I don't know if you can tell, but I have a cold. Yes, that's what spring break gave to me over the week. So I've tried to hold out to the very last minute to record the intro and outro for you, hoping that it would pass, but it just hasn't. And we're at the last hour as I'm recording this. So anyway, just so you know that I'm not in the midst of crying. I just didn't have a crying session. I just had a runny nose session for the last 3 days. So let's go ahead and jump into today's episode. Today we have Hannah Callio. Hannah helps believers hone their ability to listen to God and to each other. In addition to being a wife and mom of five, she is a certified Christian coach. Hannah and her family experiment with simple, life-giving ways to bring the kingdom into their daily lives. You can learn more about the life-changing power of listening at hannahcallio.org. And I just want to encourage you to definitely go out to her website and read more of her writing and get into her story. I think you will definitely want to after hearing the interview today. I actually met Hannah through a Facebook group after the If Gathering conference, and she reached out to me and said she had a story to share. And man, does she have a story to share. Her and her family were called into missions overseas, and then that journey did not go anyway the way they thought, and yet God was still in it. And the lessons that she learned from that have challenged me, and really, to be quite honest, I think it's changed my life. Her writing and just her perspective is just so inspiring to me, and I know it's going to do the same for you. So let's go ahead and jump into the conversation with Hannah. Well, hey, Hannah, and welcome to Feathers.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited that you're here. So how about you start off and tell us a little bit about your family?
Sure. I am married to Eric. This is our 16th year of marriage, and we have five children ranging from 13 to 1 year old.
Wow. So you have a teenager and a little baby.
Yes, and kind of every phase in between. Right now, they're actually all exactly 3 years apart. So we have 13, 10, 7, 4, and 1.
Wow. So you have your hands full. That's awesome, though.
Yes.
And I always love, my oldest is going to be 13 this year, and I think I get to every single stage, and I'm like, oh, this is my favorite. So I think they all have really benefits about each age, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and my oldest, she's, like I said, she's going to be a teen, and the tween ages always kind of scared me, but we've had so much fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, our son is just an incredible blessing to us. We're so thankful for the maturity that he's gaining. So, yeah, we're excited.
That's awesome. All right. So I just have to tell you that you even being on this podcast is the answer to prayer to me. One of the things that I really prayed for when I was starting this podcast is I just, you know, like, Lord, if you want me to do this, I've got to have people to interview. And so when the podcast launched, I actually put it in a Facebook group. So right about the time I was launching this podcast, we attended the If Gathering conference online, and they had us, I don't know if you were participated in this part of it, but they had you do write on a rock of your next step, like what was your next step of faith that you were going to do. Well, this podcast was my next step. And so after the podcast launched, I went into the Facebook group. It's called If Local, where ladies gathered that were hosting the If Gathering locally in their homes and churches. And I just posted about, the podcast launching and that it was my next step. And I believe that's where you commented and say, hey, you know, I have a story.
Yeah, I was really excited about what you were doing, because I really think that sharing the stories of how God's working in our lives is such an important way of, you know, first giving him glory and reminding ourselves, and then also building faith in each other. So I was really excited about that.
Exactly what this is about. Okay, so I don't know a ton about your story, so we're all going to learn together. But what I know of your story, it sounds like quite an adventure. And so just to give just a brief overview for everybody.
Sure.
You guys, there's some, you know, in the mission and the calling that God gives us. Some people are senders. They send people out, and some people are, they go.
Right.
They actually go. And your family was one of those families that went. And you thought it was going to be a simple, relocation to another country, and God ended up taking you on quite the adventure. So I think it's going to be really interesting to hear how that turned out. So why don't you take us back to the beginning of that story and tell us more?
Sure. So this, let's go back to about a year ago at this time. God had been speaking to our family for several months about selling our house and selling and giving away our possessions and following him. And we were sensing that he was inviting us to join him in the work that he was doing in Italy. We had some background working there in the past, and I had lived there as a student, so I already knew the language and was very familiar with the culture, and I'd had a burden for Italy for about 20 years already at this point. So when we began sensing that he was calling us to take this step of moving there full time, it wasn't a total surprise because we'd been praying for Italy for so long, but it was, at the same time, it was a surprise just because we'd waited so long for the go-ahead from him. So I'm just
really interested already. So,
sure.
So I don't know a lot about your background, but so you were raised in the States and you went to Italy for school, is that right? And
yes.
Do you have any missions background at all, or was that just school that you'd been there?
Well, you know, it wasn't explicitly a missions trip the first time I went. I was going just as a student, but I really did feel, even at that point, that God was calling me. I mean, I prayed about which country to go to, and I really felt like he was leading me to Italy. And he led me to a part of Italy that was, I mean, there were no churches, there were virtually no believers, and really just broke my heart because I developed such a love for the Italian people and their language and their culture. And it was so sad to be in this place I knew had a history of Christianity, right?
Right.
And mm-hmm. And then to realize that it's actually one of the least evangelized nations in the world.
Wow. I didn't know that. I'm learning.
Yeah, in terms of number of born-again believers. So there's a great need to reach Italy.
Okay, so 20 years, did you say? 20
yes,
years later?
20 years ago this year, I was there as a student for the first time.
Wow. And so then God starts moving again.
Yes. And there had been things that had happened in between there where we thought he was opening doors, but then those doors closed again. And so at first, when he began speaking to us about going to Italy, I was actually kind of skeptical, like, oh, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if this really pans out. But this time, my husband, who in the past had been really uncomfortable with the idea of moving the family to do something like that, was like, this is where God is leading us. So that was really different. And then the other thing that was really different was that we had been trying to sell our house for about 5 years. And this time we put it on the market again. I think this was like the third time we'd put it on the market in 5 years. And this time we put it on the market and it sold within just a matter of weeks.
Wow.
So that gave us some indication that God was doing something different.
So I'm just curious, like, was there a particular type of missions work that you, like, was there an agency that you were already dealing with, or what kind of was your plans when you got there?
Well, we weren't dealing with a missions agency per se. We had some friends in Italy that they were actually already living in the region of the country that we had felt called to for about 10 years. And we'd been praying for a specific region of Italy. And they were living about 20 minutes from the city that we really felt God was calling us to reach. So they were kind of another one of the things that God was doing that was leading us to believe this is the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were already established in the community and said, you know, we can help you get settled, and we have some leads for jobs, because we knew that we wanted to be tent makers wherever we went. That was something that's always been really important to us. And so they were able to help my husband line up a full-time teaching job, which was amazing.
And so just for clarification, you don't mean literal tent making.
No,
tent making,
no.
Right. That's a reference to...
Yeah, in terms of being in a country as missionaries, but rather than being fully supported by a church or an organization, being partially supported by work that you do, you know, so that you're out in the community, you're interacting with people who are doing their daily routines. And so that's tent making.
Got it.
Yeah. So these friends of ours had already begun ministering to women and girls that had been trafficked into their area. Apparently this part of Italy has a very serious problem with prostitution. And we really had a very strong desire to help with that ministry. We had already been praying into that on our own and been giving toward organizations that rescue people who've been trafficked. And so it was really on our heart to help with the work that they were already doing.
I'm glad that there's more, and I know it's been around for so long, but I'm glad that it's getting more attention lately.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, our plan was to go to Italy, and my husband was going to be working full-time as an English teacher. He has an education background, so that was a very good fit for him. And then, in addition to that, we were planning on helping with this ministry to trafficked women and girls and whatever else God would give us opportunity to do there in that community.
Okay, so you have the plans to do this. You sell your house, and then what?
So we sold our house, and we knew that we wanted to travel very light. Like, it was really important to us. I mean, first of all, shipping things overseas costs a lot, and a lot of our possessions just weren't worth that much in the first place. So we were like, you know what, it just makes more sense for us to sell what we can, give away the rest, and, you know, take a suitcase each and start over when we get there.
Wow.
And we, you know, obviously we had other options, but every time we prayed about it, we really felt that we were supposed to travel light. And we actually had that confirmed through several other praying friends that came to us separately and said, you know, this is what we feel God is leading you to do. So we felt really confident about that and ended up selling and giving away about 90% of our possessions. So we headed over to Italy and got there. And within the first couple of days, we found out that my husband's employer hadn't actually followed the correct procedure for hiring a foreigner.
Oh, no.
And as a result, we couldn't legally work or stay in Italy.
Oh my gosh.
So we had 90 days to stay there as tourists. And after that, we had to either leave or be there illegally. And, you know, as tourists, we couldn't legally work for pay. We couldn't, you know, we couldn't buy a vehicle. We couldn't lease an apartment. We couldn't do so many of the things that we need to do to kind of establish a normal life anywhere.
Yeah, so you're like in limbo. Oh my gosh.
Right, exactly. So we were crying out to God because we knew that he had called us there, and yet it seemed like there was no
door. Yeah, like, didn't you just tell us to sell all of our stuff and come here?
Right.
Oh my gosh. That's insane.
Yeah, it was a surreal time. And I think the thing that was so strange about it was that there was something about it that felt so right. Like,
really?
Like,
you mean in things not going, like, so finding out that the paperwork didn't go right, that felt right to you?
Well, let me try to explain, because it was very surreal, but we were knocking on every door we could think of and trying every option and getting a hold of all the different officials to see if there was some way we could legally make this work. And everyone was giving us the same answer. And after trying several different options, I turned to my husband and it was just like, God set us up. He set us up. And I wasn't saying that with anger or with any kind of malice. It was just like, I knew that
God was in it.
Yeah. Like, we never would have walked into a situation like that. Like I said, we'd always wanted to be there as working professionals. And so it's not anything that we ever would have chosen, but it really seemed like God had led us into this specific situation. And we didn't know why yet, but we felt very strongly that he had us right where he wanted us. And
well, it would have to be, because I would think, like, that would just be a cruel joke to somebody if it wasn't, right? I mean, it would right. have to be, like, something intended for good, or God was just kind of mean.
Yeah, I guess we did have to make the decision how to see it, but we all felt very strongly that God had something even better in mind. And I remember my husband kind of sitting our whole family down and saying, this is our Red Sea moment. And even though it looks like there's nowhere to turn, you are going to be able to look back on this years from now and tell the story of how God came through for you.
Mm, and so good. I just love you. You have 5 children
yes.
at this time.
Yes.
And they're watching you make these decisions. That's so powerful.
Yeah. And they were all, I mean, they were surprised like we were, but they were all,
yeah.
wow, let's see what God's going to do.
Yeah, isn't that a great place to be able to really show your children what it means to follow God?
Mm-hmm.
When everything goes wrong after you've done what God's told you to do and it's not turning out how you thought.
Yeah, I was really blessed to see the faith that my children were able to have during this whole process because, you know, obviously there were times where as an adult my intellect or my logic would get in the way sometimes because I was like, yeah, but I know that this needs to happen, where they were able to relax and trust in a way that I sometimes struggled to do. And that really helped me kind of gauge where my heart was at and just gave me a reference point for, wow, you know, this is the peace that I could have right now.
Mm, it just reminds me that, you know, that childlike faith that
yes.
we're supposed to have.
Yes.
I love that you're learning from your children.
Oh, we learn so much from each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're turning every which way and it's still a no. So did it end up just being a no or what happened?
So what ended up happening was that God opened a door for us to go back to the island of Sardinia, which is off the coast of Italy. It's part of the country, but it's off the coast. And it's actually the place where I lived as a student, incredibly. So he sent our family back there, and we lived for almost 3 months on this campground that was run by these missionaries from Switzerland that are living in Italy. And it was an amazing experience because we were surrounded by the beauty of nature, and probably 90% of the people that were staying on this campground, probably more even, were believers. And so even though it wasn't the ministry opportunities that we had planned, we had so many opportunities to share our lives with these other believers and coach them and encourage them and lead them in worship and share what God had taught us. And so it was still an amazing opportunity.
Oh, man, I love that.
Yeah, and then
I love that you went to preach the gospel, but you were sharing with believers.
Right.
And encouraging one another. I love that.
Yeah, and then we went there because they had thought that they would be able to help us get visas to stay long-term as missionaries. So our original status when we went over there was we were planning getting work visas, and we found out that that was not an option. But then they said, you know what, we can help you get volunteer visas, and you can come back as missionaries. And so that was our plan B, but God said no to that also. Mm-hmm. And we found out shortly before our 90 days was up that we did, in fact, have to leave the country at least for 90 days before we'd be able to come back.
Hmm.
So then we're praying about what we're supposed to do next, because the logical thing to do at that point would have been to go back to the U.S. and file our paperwork to get these volunteer visas. But there were a number of things that were not really gelling in order for us to have this volunteer status. And when we were praying about what God wanted us to do next, it was really clear that he was instead sending us to Israel.
Wow. Okay. So have you ever been to Israel? Like,
so, yeah. So I know,
out of the blue?
I know it sounds a little random, but actually I was born in Israel.
Oh,
and
okay.
My biological father still lives there. And I have aunts and cousins and a whole extended family there. And we have been there. Everyone in my family except my youngest daughter had already been there, and many of them multiple times.
Okay, so it's not so out of the blue as it might sound.
Not exactly, no.
Okay.
But it was still fairly surprising because it hadn't been on our radar, obviously.
Not at all initially.
But again, we were just having a number of confirmations that this is where God was leading us. So we packed up again and headed to Israel. But this time, we were going to be traveling a lot more on our own before we could get to our final destination. There were a number of legs to the journey where we had to first take a bus, and then we had to take a ferry boat overnight, and then we had to take trains and more buses and multiple flights. And so it just became really clear that we were going to have to pare down further. So we got down to like a backpack each.
Oh my gosh, talking about traveling light.
Yeah.
Well, I just love that. Like already you can see like why you needed to travel light.
Yeah, absolutely.
So awesome.
Definitely. So then we made it to Israel, and again, things were not what we had hoped. As I said, I was born there, but I don't have any of my citizenship paperwork because of some bureaucratic glitches when I was born. And apparently there isn't really a clear-cut way to grandfather me in. And so I'm in this weird situation where I'm a citizen, but I only have tourist status when I'm there because I don't have the proper documents. Mm. So one of the things when we were going to Israel, we had really sensed that God was leading us to get our citizenship papers so we would have an option of somewhere to stay long term. Because we still really felt called to the Mediterranean region, but didn't know how we were going to be able to stay in Italy. So we thought, well, maybe we can get our citizenship in Israel and then we'll at least have a home base in the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. So we began pursuing that process, and it's a very expensive process and it's a very lengthy process. And we ran into a dead end there as well. So here we are in Israel. We didn't really have any connections with other believers. We didn't have any work or any place to stay or, you know, any ministries that we were affiliated with. We were kind of...
I'm freaking out for you. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm trying to like picture my family in the middle of nowhere in Israel and trying to get along with no income and no contacts and oh man.
Yeah, it was as stressful as it sounds.
Yeah.
There were literally times where we had a really hard time finding places that were willing to host a family of seven for some reason. Like even though we were willing to, you know, deal with tight quarters and everything, a lot of places just wouldn't agree to rent to us even for a few days at a time. So we ended up having to really scramble for housing a lot. And there was more than one time that we were packing our things up to leave one place and we didn't know where we were going to be going like that day.
Okay, so I'm a little clueless. Help me understand. Is it like home? Like, do you rent homes? Is that what it is?
Well,
or
yeah, we were
hotels.
We were basically, because we couldn't find any long term like apartment type situations that were willing to rent for us, went rent to us for just like a 3 month. You know, because remember at this point we're only there for 90 days as tourists and we're not sure if we're going to be able to stay yet. So we couldn't sign like a year long lease.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But we wanted to rent something for like a month or even 3 months and nobody would rent to us. So we ended up just renting places on Airbnb.
Right. I've heard of that.
That we could find that would be open, you know, sometimes for a week, sometimes for 4 or 5 days, just whatever we could find. And then as soon as we would get to one place, we would start scrambling for the next place because we knew that we only had a few days there. So yeah, it was just an amazing amount of upheaval. We ended up moving 20 times over a period of 7 months.
20 times?
Yeah. And then that includes from the time that we sold our house in the U.S. to the time that we came back to the U.S.
Okay, so but 20 times is a lot, no matter what.
Yeah.
That, I don't think I've even moved 20 times in my whole life. I don't think so. Maybe I probably have moved... We moved a lot when I was younger. I might have moved 11 or 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that's not a fun process. I'm so glad you were traveling light. But
yes.
Still, the upheaval with 5 kids trying to do that. Okay, so tell me what – I'm so curious. What tell me what happened.
So, yeah, like I said, we would be in all these situations where we didn't know where we were going to be sleeping that night or the next day, and the kids would be like, so where are we headed next? And we'd be like,
oh my gosh,
well, we don't know yet, but we know God has something good in mind.
Oh my gosh, like, I totally, it's like a concept that's like blowing my mind right now. I can't imagine.
Yeah, it was a different level of.
Just let's talk about the trust. I mean, just the trust. If you want to get, you know, circle this back to faith, just having the trust that God was going to provide for you each and every time.
Right. And that was one of the amazing things about this whole experience that just left us almost giddy at times, because on one hand, there was this scary element of like, wow, we were seemingly really close to being homeless there just an hour ago or so, and we might be homeless again next week. You know, there was so much uncertainty, but at the same time, in the midst of that, there were all these miraculous examples of God providing. I mean, we would literally have strangers come up to us and give us money and walk away. You know,
what?
Like, we would have people give us
what would they say? Like, I just felt like I should give you this money?
Yeah, we would have people literally say exactly what you just said.
Are they other believers? Were they believers?
Yeah, they were believers, but in many cases, unbelievers gave us money too.
Wow.
We had people give us food. We had people give us clothing. We had people give us, you know, toys for the kids. Just anything that you can imagine needing, God provided it really in these unexpected, miraculous ways. And so there was, you know, I would be lying if I said I wasn't ever anxious. Because I definitely was.
Well, yeah,
of course. But God's care for us during that time was just so, so tangible and so evident. So we were all just excited to see what the next crazy surprise was going to be.
Yeah, I imagine. So you ended up, did you end up staying in Israel for the full 3 months?
We did. And actually, we applied for an extension on our tourist visas, and at first we were denied, and then we went back to try again and present our case again, and that time they said, oh, sure, of course, no problem. That makes perfect sense that you should be able to stay longer. And they gave us a list of documents and supporting things that they would need, and we came back and brought those, and they said, no, absolutely not. And they even said that there was a possibility that if I tried to come back into the country again as a tourist, I could face arrest, because they knew that I had this court proceeding underway to try to get my citizenship. And so apparently, for that reason, I'm no longer welcome in Israel until I'm able to get that resolved. So we found out that the definitive answer was no with just over 24 hours before our visas expired.
Oh, my gosh.
So we had about 36 hours to plan another international location.
Oh, my gosh. And where were you going to go?
Well, we didn't know, because we really, you know, that whole time that we'd been in Israel, we'd been praying, you know, God, do you want us to go back to the States? Because things were, you know, very difficult, like I shared, and God didn't seem to be opening doors for us there, but yet we really felt like he wanted us to stay and stick it out. And then that last day, when we found out that we had to leave the country, we prayed, and for the first time, both my husband and I felt that God was saying, it's time for you to go back to the U.S. now. And at that point, both of us really felt strongly that it wasn't like you're returning to the U.S. to live. It was like you're going back to take a break. You're going back to rest up for the next assignment that I have for you.
Okay, and so that's where you are now.
Yes, so right now we're back in Minnesota, where both of us grew up, and we're just continuing to rest and continuing to experience God's amazing provision. One of the incredible things that happened was that, like I shared, after being, you know, on the verge of homelessness so many times in Israel and living in really, really cramped quarters for most of that time, when we came back to the U.S., before we even had a chance to ask, a friend emailed us as soon as she heard that we were coming back and said, we have a house that's fully furnished and the fire is on the stove and we're waiting for you. Let us know when you're going to be arriving. And they had made all the beds and they had stocked the fridge and everything was all ready for us. And they haven't asked for a cent. They've just said, this is something we can do and we love you and we want to bless you. And the amazing thing is they weren't even like really close friends before we left. I mean, they were friends of ours that we had known for several years, but it was just this, again, amazingly unexpected provision.
Yeah, I love that God's provision comes through his people.
Yeah.
Right? So God moves in our lives for us to do things, but he's also moving in, you know, obviously in everybody else's lives too.
Right.
And the two of them work together to do what, you know, he wants to happen.
Right. And that was one thing that we had to sometimes really humble ourselves and accept, because sometimes it was really hard to accept help from people. And God just kept reminding us, you know, you need to receive this as if it's from me, because it is.
Yes. Oh, man, that gives me chills. I love that.
Yeah. So we're really, really thankful for all the people that have helped us and blessed us in different ways. But we're also just really mindful that all those things really come from God, and that he's able to bless those people, you know, above and beyond any thanks we could ever give them.
Absolutely. So as you look back at all of this, you guys are in this back in the States and you're resting. You've been on quite the adventure. So what was the date that this started, when you started talking about selling yourself? That was last year, right? In 2014?
So we put our house, I think we put it on the market actually on like March 15th or something. So just about a year ago.
So just a year, all of this has happened. And so you're back resting. You're thinking that you might go back. As you look back on this time, it really didn't turn out at all like you thought. So
not at
just,
all.
Yeah, so can you just talk, and I think that happens a lot, like people,
yeah.
You know, people have this idea, you know, God calls them, they have an idea what it's going to look like, and then it just kind of falls apart. I think some people would feel, and I've read some of your blogs, so I'm speaking a little bit from that knowledge, but maybe look back and feel like it was a failure. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about that, like what failure and success looks like when you've experienced something like this that was truly God's calling?
Absolutely.
And yet didn't it turn out?
Yeah. I mean, since this has happened to us, I've heard from so many other believers that have gone through a similar redirection from God. And also, a lot of people have brought to my attention all the places in the Bible where God calls someone to do something and then redirects them in a very unexpected way. So this is definitely a major part of walking with God in obedience, right? Like this whole thing of, but you said... You know, so
yeah,
I have to say there's a grieving process that we went through, and maybe in some ways we're still finishing that up, you know, because we did let go of a lot and say goodbye to a lot, and we really had our hopes set on certain things happening, right? And then when those things don't happen, Even though what did happen was good in a different way, there's still this grieving process of, wow, you know, I wanted to minister in Italy and I wanted to be involved in seeing people freed. And, you know, it's hard from that standpoint of just, wow.
Yeah, so you're grieving your plans, even, and they were good things for
yeah.
the Lord that you
yeah.
thought they were good, and you having to let that go. That,
yeah, absolutely.
That's hard.
But it's also, you know, I had shared with people on my blog, you know, because our family had become, even before this happened, we'd become really intentional about ordering our lives around this idea of listening to God's voice and doing whatever we felt him calling us to do. And so I had kind of made an example of us on this blog. Like, I want all of you reading the blog to be able to see what's possible when one family commits to listening to God and obeying him in whatever he calls us to do. And so here I was in this awful situation.
Watch this.
Yeah. I mean, just feeling like, oh my gosh, I've just become this cautionary tale of, you know, look what terrible things can happen to you when you listen to God. And that wasn't anything like what I wanted. But the thing that really saved me from years of tormenting myself about that was right away after this happened. First thing that I heard God speak to me, you know, when we found out for sure that we weren't going to be able to stay in Italy, was, I want you to be very careful what lesson you learn from this. I want you to only learn the lesson that I'm teaching you. You know, don't make it into a lesson about something else. Mm. Because it's so easy for us to make that leap in our minds of saying, oh, I guess this means that I must have done this wrong. Or, oh, I guess maybe this means that I should have done this instead. But God was like, no, 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 no. I want you to just let me teach you what I want to teach you, because it's not the lesson that you would necessarily come up with yourself.
Okay, so can you share what that is? Are you to the point where you can look back and see what that is?
Yeah, I think the main thing, and I would have said this before, but now it's like I've lived it. And so I feel like I know it on a deeper level than I did before. And the main thing is that God is the only one who is worthy to define success in my life. So if he says, this is what I want you to do, and I obey him, he says that's success.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get to argue with him and say, but God, success should have looked like this, or success should have involved this many people getting saved, or this many people, whatever, you know, like, I don't get to define success, because I've decided that he's my king, and his definition of success is the one that I'm going after now. So I think that's, I'm really careful still, because of that caution that he gave me, to try to assign a moral to the story, because, you know, also he's still writing the story.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. not over. And so none of us knows what this will look like 5 years or 10 years down the road. But thus far, the thing that I can say really confidently is that I'm not qualified to define success in my life, other than success equals obedience. And the
that like literally like makes me tear up just listening to you say that. I think that's going to be so freeing to so many people listening, to feel like there's been so many times that they felt like failures.
And
it's not the case.
Right. I mean, those accusations are not from God. You know, if you have given of yourself in obedience, if you've sacrificed in obedience, if you've taken a bold, risky step in obedience, to the extent that you've obeyed, you've succeeded.
And you don't know what, you know, you don't even know what he was planning, you know, like he, and I just think about your story and you know, how you saw God move,
mm-hmm.
you know, you were able to encourage those believers. You were teaching your children, about faith and about the Lord, and so many things that may have been failure in some people, that might have been the exact success that he had planned all along, right?
Right. And we, you know, we don't really know. I mean, none of us gets to know who our lives impact fully. But one thing that I do know is that I was blogging about our situation regularly during our time overseas, and I'm continuing to do that. And the story of what God did in our lives has reached people in over 100 countries. And so I'm sure I will never know exactly how God is using that story, but it is really comforting to me to know that he's using it in people's lives. Even though I don't get to see the results, it's exciting to know that we're part of that in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I know you've encouraged me already. So if we think about just moving into scripture that maybe sustained you through this time, or that you would give to people that might relate to your story, what would you share?
Well, there were a few different ones that we used to encourage each other and encourage ourselves during our time. And one of them that I really want to share is from Isaiah 45. It's verse 3 in particular has stood out for me for many years. It says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. So for us, what that kind of came to mean was that even though we were in this very dark and in some ways very hidden place. You know, we weren't like famous itinerant preachers that got to draw a crowd and tell the story of what God was doing in our lives. We were mostly unknown everywhere we went. But at the same time, even in this time of confusion and grief and uncertainty, there were so many treasures that God was revealing to us, and we would kind of challenge each other to try to notice those. And that was one of the things that really kept the atmosphere more joyful and hopeful. And another one, if I may, we would also encourage each other a lot by singing. And one of the songs that we love to sing is from Exodus 15, the Song of Moses. And it talks about how it says, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." And, of course, that kind of tied in with the whole idea of it being our Red Sea moment, right? And in the end, God did actually literally lead us to the Red Sea, so that was kind of amazing, too. But the other thing that was really encouraging for us about this verse, or this passage of Scripture, was that we have this history with God, right? Like, he has such a track record in our lives already. Like, he was working in our lives and in the lives of our family even before any of us was born. So just that idea of him not just being my God, but him being my Father's God, way, way back, so many generations, more than we can count. And just, I don't know, just that amazing example of his deliverance really put our challenges in perspective. Like, you know, things seem tough, but we don't actually have an army chasing us into the sea right now. You know, so it just kind of helps you go, okay, you know, we're going to get through this.
Yeah, and that's actually in Hebrews, you know, it goes through the people of faith. Yeah. And all the times that God was so faithful, and this is generations and generations before us. And he's proven himself, and we can trust him. And that is encouraging to see the other things that people have gone through. And I think this is why I'm so passionate about, you know, this podcast, is just hearing the stories of where God has been faithful to other believers.
Yeah, I mean, we need to remind each other. And one of the things that he's really been impressing on me lately is, you know, people talk to me about telling my story. And I'm like, you know, this isn't my story. This is your story as much as it's mine, Amy. I mean, really, this is the story of what God's doing in his body. And I feel like, first and foremost, it's his story, but it's also our story. Like, he may not be doing the exact same thing in your life, but I really feel like part of what he did in the lives of our family was for you, and it was for other believers that hear the story and then can be encouraged or challenged in some way.
That just reminds me of, like, the thread that he weaves. It's like the great tapestry. You know, it's all connected, and it's all creating something beautiful.
Yeah, and we are, you know, as much as we sometimes feel isolated or feel disconnected, we really are connected, and that's the only way we can function in a healthy way as a body.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Okay, I've just loved hearing your story, and I am encouraged, and I love being a part of that. I love that I'm a part of it now, and I can't really wait just to see what happens and, you know, whatever adventure that you guys are on next after you guys get all this resting done. Mm-hmm. And I hope that goes well for you. I'm definitely going to keep reading along and seeing what happens. And if people want to connect with you and follow along too, where can they find you online?
The best place to find out about what God is doing in our lives is on our website, which is hannahcallio.org. And there I do share updates on our family, but I really try to keep it more, again, about like what God is doing in the lives of his body. So I share a lot about helping people listen to God and listen to the people that he's placed in their lives. And then in my newsletter, I share more about the personal stuff that he's doing in the lives of our family.
And they can sign up right on your website?
Exactly.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I'm so glad you contacted me and that we had a chance to talk tonight.
Thank you so much for the privilege of joining you. This was really, really fun.
Guys, I hope this interview blessed you like it blessed me. I know many of you feel like a failure because what you thought God called you to looks like a failure. You guys have emailed me and said that, like, God called me to this and it's not turning out the way I thought. And maybe I just failed at it, but it's not true. Like Hannah said, God's plans are so outside of our understanding that trying to understand success or trying to understand the why behind our circumstances is just futile. I mean, to me, it really brought home what it looks like to have faith like a child that simply obeys and leaves the rest to the Father. So I hope for those of you that might feel like you failed in something that you just go back and reexamine that time in your life and just rest in the fact that you were obedient, no matter what the outcome looked like. So another thing I wanted to talk about is something I found after our interview, and that is an ebook that Hannah offers on her website. It's called A Night and Day Difference in Your Productivity. And I know it sounds like a productivity book because that's in the name, but what I took from it was two questions she has you ask every day, and it really helps you get better at listening to God so we can hear those things that God wants us to do. I don't want to give away what the questions are. I want you to go get the book. You can go to hannahkallio.org. It's K-A-L-L-I-O.org and click on at the top, This Is For You. And I would love to hear some feedback once you do that and see how that goes for you. All right, guys, you can check out the show notes and leave comments over at featherspodcast.com. And we will see you next week on Feathers.